Well, hi, this is Nicole Brandon in Unlimited Life. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have such an exciting lineup. I can't believe it. It's so wonderful. And today's guest is absolutely extraordinary. Today we have Don Saunders, and he's going to talk about the power of knowing how life works. And I have to tell you, we've had so many guests on that you've heard me talk about for over the past few months that I've met that are authors, that are writers, that are scientists, that are psychics, that are mystics, that are media people, that I've met along the way that I just thought were extraordinary people. And a lot of those people I've worked with, a lot of those people I've seen touch and change lives. And then I also was telling you a story about when I was working with UFOs and how I was at this UFOlogy Center and that I actually saw a being from another world. And we automatically recognized each other. And never before in this show have I actually talked to you about a time in my life or a time in this world where I was walking somewhere and I actually recognized somebody that I was supposed to know. And that's what happened with Don. We were literally walking through a hallway, and it was just like a beam of light or energy. And we just looked at each other and knew that we knew each other and knew that we were supposed to know each other in this world and in this time. And he vibrates at such a high level, and his information is so extraordinary. And I feel so honored and so blessed and so gifted to have him here today to share his information with you. Don is an author, he's a speaker, and he is an entrepreneur. He spent 38 years as the Western Regional Vice President of Kodak, only to have his division sold off 6 months before his pension eligibility. If you could even imagine what that would be like. From the ashes of his financial despair, and I know so many of you have been there, and utilizing a powerful personal experience, he was able to rebuild his life and his career. He now owns multiple retail establishments. That's multiple retail establishments, and that's in Las Vegas, as well as the Beam Institute. And we will talk to him about the Beam Institute. It's something I'm very interested in being part of, and I'm sure many of you are interested in being part of. When he shares his unique perspective on today's business environment and human interactions in the workplace, he provides an interesting look into the do's and the don'ts of business for both employees and for employers, because his ability to transfer knowledge from its purest form is really what makes him sought after as a teacher, as a speaker, and as a coach, both in business and as a life coach. He woke up on the morning of November 17, 2009, and he was suddenly overcome with paralysis, and he found himself receiving empowering download of information, which he refers to as the knowledge. During his amazing experience, he received clear understanding, answers, and insights relating to the power of knowing how life works. Now, as soon as this information was downloaded to Don, his paralysis instantly disappeared as quickly as it manifested. He gave up 38 years corporate career to share this knowledge, which he offers now to empower individuals, businesses, and organizations, and you today that are listening to this show. He explains, he said he didn't have an outer body or near-death experience, but the knowledge came to him like a tornado and was just downloaded all around him. He's going to talk about that. He has videos, he has books, he is the most extraordinary man, and he's going to share with us the details of how life works. And what is the knowledge and how it can work in your life and how you can become a student of it, how you can embark on this powerful journey in your life, how you can understand your past and manifest a better future, and how you can make sense of all of this. So he's enthralling, he's mesmerizing, you're going to want to just talk to him forever and ever through this life and beyond, and we're so excited to bring him with us today. So let's welcome our very, very, very esteemed guest, Don. Don, welcome to the show.
Well, I can't wait to hear that guy. He sounds really something. Every time. I mean, that was just an incredible introduction for an ordinary guy, which is truly what I am. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure. No, you're so extraordinary. And it's such a gift having you here. And truly, just like I was telling our audience on the show, we've never had a guest that it was the lightning bolt that I had when I met you and when I saw you. And I knew, you know, as they say, like, Coke is the real thing. You're the real thing. You embody light, energy, and knowledge and the secrets in the universe. And, wow, you just, it's just, you just landed here, and it's what a great gift for everybody to have you here today.
Well, I'm absolutely humbled. I'm still waiting to listen to this guy. the key behind it, Nicole, that everybody needs to truly grasp right up front here is that I truly am, without any hesitation, just an ordinary guy. And people always tell me, well, Don, you know, with this extraordinary experience that you had, you're not ordinary, but I am. And it's important for people to understand that, because ordinary people walk through life utilizing the actual way that it works. Everybody does it every single day. And unfortunately, we've been pre-programmed and don't understand how it works. And so when this experience happened to me, which was basically a download of knowledge from the source, which we'll talk about soon, it wasn't, as you mentioned, a near-death experience. This is just the outline to our lives. It's what I call and what I refer to as the missing piece of the humanity puzzle. And when people start to listen to it, and they're not listening to me, they listen to how it works and what the knowledge is, because if they were listening to me, I'd just soon have them listen to themselves, because it is how it works for each and every one of us.
Okay, but when you say the missing piece of the humanity puzzle, that's huge. What do you mean? Oh, it's nothing. It's just a missing piece of the humanity puzzle.
it really is that big. I mean, it's that big. But what I face every day is the fact that we have, I'm going to guess, probably 18,000, I think I heard one time, 18,000 professional speakers traveling around the world, explaining their the things that have happened to them, their theories, and all of that stuff. So one of the things that happened to me right after the knowledge was I was basically in shell shock, and I remained there probably for a year, quite honestly, trying to sort through why people are going to listen to the knowledge when there's so much other information out there. And so it was a challenge to sort through the insights that the knowledge brought to me. And by the way, it did show me the answers. I just had to clarify them. But the reality is that with 18,000 people all sharing their views and their theories and their life experiences, I've been able to listen to a lot of people and apply the knowledge to where they get their thoughts from. And before you know it, I understand not only their views and their theories, but I understand why they're standing on the stages explaining things the way they explain them.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, that's really the clarity in which you're seeing life, in which you understand how things work, and not only the clarity of the information that came to you that made it clear for you to live a life of empowerment and embodiment of spirit and energy and all the things that you represent, but your ability to then share that information in such a clear, concise way that everybody can have a complete, full life, because you really have given them those missing pieces that they've been looking for years. And so that, I mean, what a gift.
Well, the fun thing for me was that I actually started asking this simple question when I was 10 years old, and I asked it every day of my life. And the thing I didn't know, and the thing that the people that are listening, it's going to be fun for them, is that when you start to focus on what you want, which was, for me, a simple answer, at least I thought it was, people say that it was a profound question to be asking, but the reality was that at age 10, I didn't have any idea. The fact was I was poor. So I was asking, well, how come these other people in the world are famous and they're rich? And here I am watching a family struggle with 8 kids in the family. And the thing was is that I focused on it. And that's the key learning experience to start with. If you have something that you're going to ask for, you have to be sincere and focus on it. Because otherwise, the answer, the source for the answer, is confused on what you really want. And as I started asking that question when at age 10, every single day, I didn't dwell on it. I wasn't obsessed with it. I wasn't reading a whole lot from, you know, gurus and shamans. I simply, at the end of every day, would just look up in the sky, not knowing who I was looking at or what I was looking for, and then simply ask that simple question: can you tell me, if you can help me out, let me know how this all works. So the first thing I'd like to ask your audience is to ponder the question: have you ever wondered how this thing we call life works? And when I have a live audience, I'll ask everybody to stand up, and I'll tell them I have 3 questions to ask them, and that's the first one I ask. And then I'll tell them, if you've ever pondered how life works, go ahead and sit down. And the objective is to keep as many people standing as I can with these 3 questions. Well, of course, everybody in the room sits down, and they all have a good laugh because they feel that they've won because they were all sitting and I was only through my first question. And the reason I do that is because the reality is that sometime throughout your life, no matter who you are, you're going to question why. How does this all happen? Why did it happen to me? Why did I get divorced? Why did I lose the job? Why did I get the job? Why did I go to that particular school? When I got to that school, why did my life unfold the way it did? Why did I, out of 7 billion people, align myself with one individual or with all of the friends that I have? And if you really stop to think of all of those why questions, we really don't have the answers as to how it actually works. We just assume that it was a destiny or that it was the master plan. It was something that put us where we're standing right now as you're listening to this message.
Of course. I mean, because that would be the natural instinct, right?
And that's what everybody is. Everybody walks around in neutral. And not everybody. I say 98% of the people just walk around in neutral. And what I mean by that, that's not derogatory. That's just how we walk around. We don't focus on things all day long. We just let them happen. And
if we have a car that's in neutral, right? If we have, sorry for interrupting, but if we have a car that's in neutral, we're really not revving up the engine. We really can't, you know, feel that power and that surge when the car's in neutral.
And unless you focus on putting it into gear, you're going to stay in neutral. And when you focus on something, it's important to know. Well, Don, we've heard all our lives, you got to think positive. You have to do all of the things that you read in all the books. And everybody says, we get that. So why is this any different than the power of thinking positive or think and grow rich or all of the things that are put out as far as A Course in Miracles? Why is this any different? And the reason that it is different is because I will tell you, if you listen carefully, you have never heard this before. And I have made a conscious effort since my experience to try to find and listen to all of the well-known speakers in the world. And I listen to their videos. I watch them on YouTube. And they all have the thoughts of how it should work, but nobody actually says the exact same things that arrived during the knowledge. And that's not an arrogant statement, by the way. And this is important for people to understand. I am well aware of what ego is and how destructive it is in this world. This is not my ego. This is not my theory. This is not my belief. This is simply sharing the information that came through me so that everybody can ponder without worrying about me trying to create a new religion or a new political party. There's no prejudice involved. It's simply for 7 billion people to start to ponder this information. And when they start to understand it and become students, not of Don Saunders, but of the knowledge, they will soon start to be able to say, yes, that's why that happened to me. Ah, that's what we can do for our kids to get them focused in the right direction. Because this information is not for me. It's for me to share. It just happened to come through me.
Okay, so can we back up really quickly then? And can you just share a little bit about how that happened? I mean, you talked about that you woke up and you were paralyzed. I mean.
Great question. We're going to have a great interview here because you're so in tune with this stuff. When I say 98% of the population walks around in neutral, that would not refer to you. And that's why we've come together, because you're going to help me share this knowledge like 1% of the population that keeps coming to me every day. We will share the knowledge and the information in different forms. And from that, it'll spin into hopefully shifting humanity so that we can get back on track again. So let me explain how the process worked to begin with. After asking that question all those years, and each time I ask it, every day that I ask it, then the very next day, it was actually showing me a little bit more of how life worked. I would lose a friend. I actually lost 7 close friends in high school at the age of 16 and 17, all in different accidents. And each time that happened, I would say, why them? Why not me? Why wasn't I in that car when the drunk driver hit my friend? Or why did he die of a cerebral hemorrhage? Or why did he be the one to drive into a tree because he had a fight with his girlfriend? So when I had that happen, I intensified the question, but again, not being obsessed with it all. And so fast forward, I woke up one morning on November 17, 2009, and I discovered that I'm paralyzed. And all I can see is a digital clock at the end of my bed. And as I laid there paralyzed, looking at the clock, I'm starting to cry because I have never really been convinced that people know what happens when you die. So naturally, being that I was there watching this happen in real life because I was wide awake, I'm thinking maybe this is the beginning of the end. I can't move. I don't know what's going on. So as it progressed through the first 15 minutes of this whole thing, I was scared, but then I realized that things were leaving from around me. And when I say things, I just mean that there was this powerful feeling, and for lack of a better word, so that you can put yourself in my position, I'm just going to say there was a powerful energy field leaving from around me. And as I laid there for 23 minutes, this continued to happen. And as that happened, I felt more and more like I had been sleeping for hundreds of years. I mean, I really just felt that all of the burdens, all of the life, everything was just lifted from me. And then, of course, I was getting more scared because I thought, wow, is this really what happens when we die? And so I couldn't do anything. I was laying there, and because I was paralyzed, the only thing that I could do is see the clock. And after 23 minutes, when it clicked on 24, so it was 6:24 in the morning, all of this powerful stuff turned around and came back at me like a hurricane. And then I started to cry because I had no idea what this was all about. And then basically the tears were going in my eyes, but then pretty soon all of the insights started to clear up. In this 1 minute at 6:24, I all of a sudden started to realize I was being provided the total answer to my question. how does this thing we call life work? And included in the knowledge was information on how the universe began, how our physical lives function, the whole picture, and the big one, which everybody really wants to spend some time on, is what happens when we die. And that information came, but I was locked on that 1 minute for a very, very long time. I mean, I was being given billions of years of knowledge in that short earthly minute time frame, and it was all part of the training. It was all part to teach
wow.
me how this all took place. One thing that being locked in that 1 minute was very, very clear was that there is no time in the universe. And at first, for a few months, I didn't understand what that particular piece of knowledge meant. In fact, it took me a couple of years of sorting through all of the insights. You can only imagine how much information surrounded me when I walked around every day. And the point about there being no time in the universe is important for every one of your listeners. Because if you buy into the fact that just maybe, just some wild coincidence, this guy actually stumbled across something here, this poor country boy from Western New York, if you start to grab onto it a little bit, it's important for you to understand that if you start to ask your source, whether it be your God, your universe, whatever the universe of consciousness, whatever earthly words you want to assign to the source, if you ask that question, that source has no time surrounding it. See, time was developed by us as humans to set us as a data point for us to live our lives. And what I mean by that is if you ask a source that doesn't run on earthly time a question, you cannot set an earthly time point for that answer to arrive. So if you pray, if you just manifest, if you do whatever earthly word you want to do, and you're asking for assistance or you're asking for an answer, and it doesn't show up in a day or two or 30 days or however much earthly time you give it to show up, what happens is that people get frustrated and they don't focus on that particular issue any longer and they walk away. And then when the answer actually shows up in their life, they walk right by it. They ignore the links of the people that are sent to them to give them the answer. They ignore the answers that are on signs, that are in a chapter in a book, that are, you know, they see on TV or the radio. If you start to realize that there is no time in the universe, then you can set the pace for which your answers arrive, which is infinity.
Wow, that's a large space.
What's that?
That's a large space, infinity. That's
it is.
An incredible, but, I mean, just concept to think about that.
Well, and here's the thing. When I say that I was trained my entire life, I truly was. Because when I was back, probably, my wife reminds me of when I was like about 35 years old, I had a similar paralyzing experience, but I was so strong that I pushed myself out of bed, rolled onto the floor, and didn't let it happen. And we think now that we're looking back, that I was getting this answer, but I wasn't ready for it. I did not lay still and let it happen. That's why I was paralyzed the way that I was, is so that I could get the entire picture this time around. So when I talk about infinity, what I'm talking about is this. If everybody stops to think, this is important also, if everybody stops to think about about how long we are told that we should live. Our average lifespan is 75, 80 years old. Some people stretch it to 100, but in general, the average is 75 or 80. And because of that pre-programmed information, we start to live our lives so that we actually fulfill our own destiny. There is no destiny, excuse me for that one, but we actually fulfill our own prophecy, if you will. And the reality is that if we know that we're going to die at 85, we'll want to retire at age 60 so that we can live, you know, a few lives playing golf and, you know, traveling where we want to travel. If we didn't have those data points that told us that there's an average life expectancy, we wouldn't set ourselves up to manifest into our lives the reality that's going to make us get older and eventually die at that age. See, we pre-program through thoughts, and I've only written one book. It's called The Knowledge. But the reality is there's 15 books worth of information that surround me. I know that. That was part of the knowledge. Don, you're going to write 15 books. I'll get to it. And when I get into book 12 through 15, you'll start to understand where these words that I'm using, these earthly words called ego and all of the things that go along with it, start to make sense as to how they control our lives, including time. So, to get back to the original question as to how this all worked. So basically 24 minutes, all the information came back to me. At the 25th minute, I was able to jump out of bed. I tried every possible thing I could try. I had no effects of being paralyzed. I wrote my wife a note, and I said, I think I've got it, not realizing fully what I had. But I set the note on the sink. Then I went to exercise, and I stepped on the elliptical. Not realizing what I was doing, I closed my eyes, and all of these insights were still floating around me. And 90 minutes later, I opened my eyes. I hadn't been sleeping because all of these thoughts, and I didn't want to lose any of them, so I kept my eyes closed. I don't think I needed to do that, but I kept my eyes closed because it was such a powerful experience. And at that point, I understood what had just happened to me. I had been given this powerful knowledge, not understanding all of the insights, but knowing that they were available to me. So I stood on the elliptical. 90 minutes later, I opened my eyes, and the reason that I know it was 90 minutes was that all the lights on the elliptical were flashing, and I was past all of the preset things that you can do. You're not supposed to be on it for more than 60 minutes. I went out, looked at the registration.
But you became
book.
A
yes,
superhero. I love that.
It was incredible. It was incredible. And the fact was is that it was because of these insights, and I was so focused on all of this knowledge that was surrounding me that I basically wasn't locked in earthly time. I was just letting it float. So got off the elliptical, went home. My wife met me at the door, and she says, okay, what do you got? I looked at her. She's seen that I was really shaken up. I mean, if you've ever seen anybody, and the only way I can describe it earthly-wise is shell shock. If you've ever seen anybody walking around in shell shock, that is how I was walking around that day. So we sat down. I explained it to her. After we got our breath, I took time, and before you know it, I started typing. And over the next 2 days, I typed 80,000 words. They just poured out of me.
Now, when you were doing that, did you know it was called The Knowledge? Were you given that, or how did you come up with The Knowledge?
That was all part of it. It's really quite remarkable. I mean, even for me, and I was there. All of the Beam Institute, The Knowledge, all of the things, Take a Break by the Lake, all of that stuff that we'll explain in a few minutes, was all part of this information. How am I going to distribute this? I mean, the whole thing is so clear to me, and it drives everybody crazy around me because the vision is so big that I just keep looking at them and saying, well, you know, it's already done that way. We just have to wait for it to catch up with us, and it drives people crazy. But we'll get into that in a minute. But great question. So the reality is now I have all this information. I typed 80,000 words. The first book technically was done, but when my editor got my paperwork. And she looked at it, and I didn't have an editor, by the way. I had to find one. So I knew that they would, all these people would just keep coming because the knowledge said that they would. And by the way, one of the things that was powerful, and you were probably in this particular run, during the process of that 24 minutes, on the 24th minute, there was, the best thing I can do is describe it as a 3D video running in the back of my mind, but it really wasn't. It was sitting outside, and there was picture after picture of faces, and there was thousands of them. They just kept flashing through, and it was basically so clear that I didn't sit there and say, well, who's that? Who's that? I just knew that eventually those faces would come into a visual. I recognized a few people like Oprah, Dr. Phil, Ellen, you know, the people that everybody would recognize. And they're all in this video that's running. And I was totally understanding that these are the people that will help distribute this knowledge. You obviously were one of them simply because of what we're doing right now. And the people will keep showing up as they do in my life two or three times a day. People will walk into our retail stores and, you know, I'll look at them and I'll start a conversation. And they came in to shop for one thing and I ask them who they are. And before you know it, one of their passions in life is to discover this or share that. And pretty soon I realize that there are people that are going to help me in the media. There are people that are going to get me on the radio. There are people that are going to do all that stuff. So I keep a big list, a big database of all these people that are showing up. And people always say to me, well, how come we don't know of you? And it's the reason is that it's not time yet. The knowledge is here. It's being distributed the way it's supposed to. Nobody's going to listen to a poor country kid from Western New York unless there's huge amount of marketing that goes with it. And nobody's going to listen because everybody has their stories. Everybody's got a story. The fun thing for me is when I listen to the stories now, I understand where they come from. I understand.
We are drawn towards pure knowledge. So even a poor country kid, you know when there's something there. You know when there is a gift. You know, you're drawn. It's like, so maybe it's not a household name yet, but, you know, you can have a chocolate chip cookie, you know, it's the best cookie you ever had, not knowing it's Mrs. Fields yet. You know, you got taste buds and say, well, that's good. I like that.
Absolutely.
And I like that better than anything else I've ever had. And for some reason, that's the thing I want. And I don't care, you know, that other people don't know what it is or have a name. I mean, that's how everything was created. A friend of mine, Ray Blanchard, who's an amazing, amazing teacher in Spectrum Life Design, and he talks about the creation of everything. You know, that imagine during the time when somebody created a stool. You know, how do you know it's a stool? Where do somebody has to name it. Somebody had to think of it. People had to try it and, you know, from sitting on rocks and sit on it. And somebody had to show that it's safe. This is a stool. This is a stool. And then somebody had to get brave enough to try it. And then everybody had to, you know, point and say, stool, stool, stool. And there had to be a mutual agreement. It was a stool. And then a stool came into being. And why is it a stool? I mean, it could have been the guy's name. We don't know, you know. But it's before something comes into existence. You know, first is the thought, like you're saying. First is the knowledge, the creation. Then it's created. Then somebody has to present it, like you're saying, here's the information, this is what it is, it's a stool, it's the knowledge, and then other people have to try it and make sure it's safe, and then they have to agree, okay, that's the knowledge, and then it comes into existence. And so, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, poor country kid, you know, you're a god from another universe, you're an energy, you're a spirit, you have god knowledge, you know, you are coming in with the power and the words and, you know, the truth and the purity, and, you know, you were a voice of, you know, spirit into humanity, and, you know, you're being used as a vessel and a vehicle for that, and you were awakened, and you were touched, and so the information that you have doesn't necessarily need, mass media marketing, although you're going to get it because how can you not? It's like someone that tries a chocolate chip cookie and says, oh my God, you've got to try this cookie. This is incredible. And everybody then wants cookies and then they can't make them fast enough. And all of a sudden we have Mrs. Fields. You know, it's like as soon as people meet you, they know there's something different. As soon as people hear you speak and the information is so right and rings so many bells in who they are, then they have to go to somebody and say, oh my gosh, you have to listen to this guy. He's amazing and he's carrying the knowledge and, like you said, those missing pieces of the universe. And, you know, but the thing that I'm interested in too is, like, how did you know? Like, when you saw me, how did you know? You knew. What happens inside you that you know that?
And here's the thing. There's two kinds of people that come into my life. And actually, it's two kinds of people that come into everyone's life. And those two kinds of people are very simple to describe. They're the people that are there to help you and to share with you and to teach you. And those are the people that are going to, and there's two kinds of those people, and those people are, they're either going to teach you what to do or they're going to teach you what not to do. It's really that simple. And the people that teach you what not to do are important in your life as well. And the important part of the knowledge, as you get into books number 11, 12, and 13, we're going to talk about the judgment that we all have. And the fact is don't judge anyone. Just look at them as knowledge. And the reason, and I teach that in high schools. I teach that to the kids that are sitting in multicultural classes. And I tell them, I said, if you don't know everybody in this classroom, you're cheating yourself. Because each one of them carry a knowledge that you need to understand. And so when I walk around and I meet people, I, first of all, don't judge them. I mean, I used to. I got to tell you, I practice this stuff every day. Because we all judge. Oh, they look different than we do. They speak differently than they do. They don't come from the same neighborhood as we come from. But the reality is if you look at them as knowledge and you start to learn from them, then you're going to understand what they're there in your life for. Because they are in your reality. They are there for a very firm purpose, to either teach you what to do or what not to do. And if you're prejudiced towards that person, they're going to teach you how wrong that is. So they're going to teach you not to be prejudiced if you take the time and learn from them. Because more than likely, the people that you come across that you have prejudice towards, when you really take time to get to know them, you're going to realize they're nice people. So those lessons that we learn from the people that we don't even relate to really shine. Now, when I met you, the very first thing I thought of was knowledge. That was my first thought. It is with everybody. What is this person going to teach me? And as you know, we all visit and belong to CEO space, and that community is filled with diverse energy. Some are there to learn business. Some are there to learn about themselves. And when I meet each individual, like I did you, who's standing, walking down the hall, I look first at the knowledge, and then through this field that surrounds us, and we're going to get into this, through this particle field that exists in our lives that we walk through, the particles, if they align with the person you're seeing or talking to, then all of a sudden they're in your reality. And that's what happened when you and I met. The reality is that your thought process is deeper, more caring, more loving, more intuitive than 98% of the people walking around. So rather than just walk by each other, our particle fields mixed, and we stopped, and we looked at each other, and we said, well, what is this all about? And prior to meeting you, I had been told by several people, you must meet Nicole. I didn't know who you were at the time. But before I know it, we're introducing ourselves, and I said, oh, you're Nicole. And the particles that you have surrounded and built your reality out of align with the particles that the knowledge replaced for me. I will tell you prior to my experience and after my experience, I was two totally different realities, which is part of my training. Prior to my experience, I played golf, I drank beer, I worked for corporate America. After my experience, I became much more enlightened, much more aware, on a very, very high level of understanding of how all of the people's realities intermix with each other. And basically, when you and I met, these particles that I'm going to be talking about in a couple of minutes that surround us matched and aligned. We became friends, and now I'm on your radio show. Now, there's 7 billion people in the world.
They were radio particles. I see.
Well, you can call them that. That's good. The reality, though, is that these particles that create our realities, and we should get into that very quickly here, but those realities that we've created for ourselves, there's 7 billion of them in the world. Every individual has created their own reality. That's why we're all different. Every single person, even you and I, and everybody that's around us as friends, we're all very different. But those people that are the closest in aligning their realities and these particles that I'm going to talk about become friends, and that's what this is all about. When you understand how this works and what these particles are that I'm talking about, all of a sudden, all of the lights are going to start flashing, and you're going to be able to trace back through your life every single instant, every single instant. And you're going to say, that's why that happened to me. That's why I haven't done what I really wanted to do. Or the opposite is, that's why I'm where I'm at. How this works, this knowledge that I'm going to share, explains why we have professional athletes. It explains why we have entertainers. It explains why we have homeless. It explains why people end up living the life that they live, no more guesswork. They can trace every single instant in their life and say, ah, I must have been standing in that particle soup. That's why the reality that I have was created, and therefore I ended up living the reality that I live today. And I'll challenge, because I want to find them, I'll challenge anybody that understands all of this deeply because they've had this similar experience to join us. And when we get into the Beam Institute in Lake Las Vegas, this is all going to come together. You're all going to realize that if we come together as a community, we can change humanity. Excuse me, let me change that word. I don't want to change anybody. I just want to help in the shift that's already taking place. And that's a major difference. I don't want to start a religion. I don't want to start a cult. I don't want to start a political party. Just by understanding the knowledge, you will be able to shift your realities by understanding how this all works. Humanity as a whole, through the universal consciousness that surrounds us, will help us shift not only the environmental issues we're dealing with, but also the wars and the poverty that we deal with. And once people understand how this all works, which, quite honestly, without getting too deep into this, there was a guy a couple thousand years ago that walked around the face of this earth, got information, gathered up 12 of his closest friends, took a woman along to make sure everything went properly, and then they started walking around trying to share this knowledge, and eventually they turned it into greed and profit, and it just never, even though people try to grab onto it, they're not living it today. And this information, and I'm not the second coming of anything, please do not misunderstand what I just said. This information comes through people every single day. The only difference was is that because I had focused on it, I lay paralyzed. I had to get the whole download in order for the message to get shared. And when it happened, I accepted it. So when you focus on something, as I did every day of my life, and you believe that there is an answer, which I did, and then when it comes, you receive it, however form that it comes in. When you start to receive the answers to your questions, you have to accept those answers when you focus, believe, and receive, then things are going to start happening for you. Now, with 18,000 speakers in the world, or in America probably, with that many people all trying to get their message out, they're all making their tapes and their DVDs and their videos, the only way that people are going to listen to the knowledge is if I prove that it works. And the only way I'm going to prove that it works is if I'm able to build a very, very large community of people and we start to make things happen. We actually show that the shift that's taking place is created through our thoughts, because our thoughts create everything, including our physical beings.
And so is that what the Beam Institute is then?
Part of the knowledge when it came was, and it played a cruel trick on me. It told me what needed to be done, but it didn't tell me exactly how to do it, but it did share the power of manifestation. So I went about the process starting in 2009. I realized that I was standing in the middle of a place called Lake Las Vegas, not knowing from my prior experience, before the experience, why I was actually there. But here's what happened to me, just so that you understand how this process took place. When I was 20 years old, went to work for a small company called Eastman Kodak. In those days, it was huge. Now, people don't even know who they are. But the reality was, is they shipped me to San Francisco. My boss at the time took me to Scottsdale, Arizona, to McDowell Ranch. I stood on a golf tee, and I had never seen a golf course before. Again, poor country kid. Stick with me. Stood on the golf tee, looked at my boss. I said, someday I'm going to have your job. He was the vice president of the sales. I said, I'm going to live on a beautiful golf course just like this, and I'm going to live in a house similar to that one over there. That was when I was age 20. Fast forward, I moved 7 different times with the company, learning about different people in each location. We lived in San Francisco, Seattle, Cleveland, Washington, D.C., San Diego, Las Vegas, learning about all the different personalities that people have in life. In Las Vegas, I sat next to the creator of Lake Las Vegas, at the lake, him and I, all by ourselves, and he was a very busy man. For him to be there, now I know why he was there. I asked him, Ron, his name was Ron Bodecker. I said, Ron, how did you create this beautiful place called Lake Las Vegas? And he sort of smiled. He looked at me. He said, Ron, he says, 35 years ago in Scottsdale, Arizona, my father and I created McDowell Ranch, the first resort we ever built. Now, I didn't know it at the time because I hadn't had my experience yet. I didn't realize the significance that the fact was is that when I was 20, I manifested all of those things, and my life followed a pattern to put me right back into a resort called Lake Las Vegas that this same guy had built 35 years ago. So I'm sitting here in Lake Las Vegas after my experience. I'm down by the water, and I see this beam of sunlight coming up over the mountain. It was early one morning. And the beam hit me right in the eye. This was after my experience. And I said, that's it, isn't it? And I had tears in my eyes, and I'm thinking, that's why I was put here. Because by that time, I had realized that there was a reason that after 35 years, I had taken the path that I had taken. Because the experience had showed me how each day worked. And so in tears, I basically saw this beam of light, and I said, that's it. I'm supposed to create the Beam Institute. Got it. Thank you. And I was smiling. I walked around the village at Lake Las Vegas, saw the hotel, saw the resort, and I knew. Well, I said, how am I ever going to do this? And then I just thought, well, that just means that I'm going to be putting on seminars called the Beam Institute seminars. And, you know, 10 people at a time, 20 people at a time will come, and then that'll be that. Well, during this process, I was still working for Kodak, had a very lucrative income. And I'm still walking around a little bit, but I realized because of my experience that I no longer can work there, because I was just drawn away from it. And as soon as I started focusing on the fact I didn't belong there, that I hated my job. I hated just one or two people that were just not in any alignment with the knowledge. They were just terrible individuals. Took advantage of people, lied to customers, all that kind of stuff. So when I realized that I wasn't supposed to be there, the end started happening. I lost my retirement, and all sorts of things took place. The company sold us out to another division, sold our whole division out to another company, yada, yada, yada. Reality was is that if you take a look at what happened to Kodak, because of greed, they went from $180 a share down to $0.06 a share, I think it is now. And that all was part of my training. I was supposed to see all of that happen from a big, strong, powerful company down to nothing. And it was all based on the knowledge. The information that I was getting all was going to help me in the future. So this Beam Institute concept, I thought that I was supposed to put on seminars, and then all of a sudden, the entire resort went bankrupt. My house went from a very expensive house, dropped down to literally being worthless. The golf course that I had paid for a very expensive membership went bankrupt. Everything just disintegrated. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I just hit the low of my life. Everything I worked for is gone. And so if you read the book, you'll understand what happened at that point and how low I actually was. But I had to get as low as you can possibly go, because part of the process is going to be working with people that have hit the bottom and to be able to show them how they can pick themselves back up in this life simply by using the knowledge. And it all makes sense to me.
Don, does somebody get your book? How do people get the knowledge? And how do people,
I mean, thanks for asking. It's on Amazon.com. It's in Barnes & Noble. Basically, it's called The Knowledge. They can find it by just searching under Don Saunders, S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S. And thank you for that little plug. But the other option is to come to Lake Las Vegas, and we'll talk, and I'll sign one for you. So that's how that takes place.
And you also do private coaching as well, right? You do life and career coaching?
I do, and thanks again for throwing that in. But I coach differently than most people. In fact, let me explain real quick that one of the things that I was confused about when all of this was taking place was how do I distribute this? And even though it showed me that I needed to share it with the world, 7 billion people, which drives my business managers nuts, because how are you going to get to 7 billion? Well, I know that I will. And the reality is that when that all took place, I thought that I was supposed to stand on stages and do what most speakers do, and that's create content in a DVD and books and sell it from the front of the stage, including the coaching. Well, I did that for 18 months. I went to every seminar I could go to, learning, figuring out how this all works from their perspective, not from mine. And realized one day on the way back from L.A., to Las Vegas, I pulled off the road crying, quite honestly. And, I know grown men aren't supposed to cry, but I do when these things happen. I called my wife and I just said, you know what, Kara? I said, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not supposed to be trying to sell the knowledge wholeheartedly in front of large stages. I'm supposed to share this stuff. So, fast forward. We are living in Lake Las Vegas. The Beam Institute is a prevalent thought. All of the whole area goes bankrupt. And I'm thinking, all right, there's got to be a reason that all of this crash is taking place. And fast forward, you will find out what that is in one of my future calls with you. But for right now, all you need to know is that the Beam Institute is a place where people will come to refuel, refresh, rethink, and rebuild their lives as necessary. And we've got a Veterans Institute that's part of the Beam Institute. We'll be able to share how life works with these veterans, but also get them the proper help for PTSD and all of the things that we need to do. So there's a charitable side to all of this. because without the charitable side, the revenue side, which I know how to produce because that's what I did my entire life, just can't happen. And that's important for people to hear that. If you're going to try to make huge amounts of money, you must open your thoughts and your hearts up, because the universe that you're tapping into as to how to get things done, it includes the good things. So we'll get into that a little bit later. So what's your next question?
I love it, because your information is just, their wealth of information is just so incredible. It's just like a fountain. I love it. On your website, there are two things that I wanted to ask you about. One, you say rebuilding the American dream. And so can you talk about that goal to rebuild the American dream and how we're going to do
right. That?
And
great. It's perfect, because the thing that I share with people is that thoughts are powerful. Thoughts create everything. And because of my age, I'm 60 years old, because of working in corporate America all those years, because of the whole process that I've learned from, back in the 50s and in the 60s, and I was just a kid at that point, America knew that if they worked hard, they could get ahead. And they all wanted to have a new car and a nice house, and they wanted their kids to go to college, and it all worked. It all worked because people cared about each other. You'd go into a factory and everybody was your family. You'd work hard, you'd care about your neighbors. If somebody needed their lawn mowed because they had broke their leg, you'd go mow their lawn. And the compassion that we had for each other was very high and very significant in those times. And then along came the Vietnam War, and basically that was all spawned at the end of World War II, if you go back in history, where we really started caring about each other and realizing that we could really destroy ourselves from Earth based on all the things that took place during World War II. And when we dropped those incredible, ferocious bombs on innocent people, the reality was that we realized that if we don't start to shift and start to change and start to love and care about each other, that we're going to self-destruct. So when everybody came back from the war, all of a sudden the neighbors liked each other, the neighborhood parties were happening, everybody was working hard together. And fast forward, pretty soon we got into Vietnam, and we had the separation between thoughts, where some people wanted to join a commune, and other people were forced into fighting and killing more people. And then when they came back in the 70s and 80s, and this is all powerful stuff, our thoughts shifted again. We don't want to go through that again. We shouldn't be fighting on other people's soil where we shouldn't be, where they don't want us. And pretty soon we realized that we had blamed the poor soldiers who had fought in the war for our freedoms, and we really shouldn't be blaming them. It was really the governments that put us in those kind of positions. So we embrace the veterans, and we care about them, and we love them, and we try to help them. But the reality is fast forward, the fact is that we are confused in this world. We hate each other secretly. And the fact is that it's simply the thoughts that create that hate. And I don't mean all of us. I'm just saying that nations, they're fearful of each other. They're scared of each other. And these thoughts that we carry with us perpetuate this from generation to generation to generation. And until we come up with a community that has thoughts, and we got to get into that real quick because we're going to run out of time here, but how these thoughts are created are critically, critically important to the survival of humanity. And the knowledge that comes about from just learning how it works can fix all of it. Every single thing in this world could be fixed if we just shifted our thoughts. And that's what we'll do at the Beam Institute.
That's great. And then one of the other things that you have on the website, it says, what could you achieve if you knew that anything was possible? I love that. I just looked at that for a really long time, and I just, wow.
Well, one of the problems that I had with even writing that, quite honestly, was the fact that there's 18,000 speakers out there that are all explaining that to people. So, and they're all correct, by the way. I'm not questioning anybody's thoughts or realities. That's what's fun about the knowledge. I don't need to do that. But the realities are is that how do you do that? How do you create a reality around you and create all of the things that you want in your life? How does that work? How does thinking positive work? And here's what we're going to talk to you about right now. You ready?
I'm ready. I just put on my seatbelt.
Put on your seatbelt.
I'm ready to go.
Because this is the missing piece of the humanity puzzle. I'm going to share it with you right now. And here it is, because this is so extremely critical. And I want to assure all of your listeners that you are not going to get a sales pitch at the end. I'm not going to leave you hanging, and I'm not going to let you leave here thinking that you got to buy my coaching or you have to buy my books or you buy my CDs. Anytime I see you, I will talk to you. Anytime we are any place, you're going to get as much as I can get out in the time allotted. And let's get started. You see, we have been told our entire lives that our brains create all of the things that we think about. They do not. The brain is simply a processor. Now, you've heard pieces of this, so stick with me. The fact is that the brain is simply a processor, and what it processes is all of the thoughts, feelings, beliefs, emotions, knowledge, information that resides around us. If you remember back in the very beginning, if you've stuck with me this long, when I laid there in that bed paralyzed, I told you for the first 23 minutes out of the 24 that everything left from around me. That was the reality that I had created for my life for the first 56 years. And what I'm going to show you is how you can replace your existing realities with a new reality, regardless of what your age is and regardless of what your status in life is. And this is how it works. Our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions live in a consciousness that surrounds us. And I use these words for lack of a better earthly word to use. So this universal consciousness, this God consciousness, this the source, whatever words you want to use, exist around us. Now, people have taken shots at this for a long time, and you could be shaking your head up and down and say, yeah, we know there's a consciousness, but I'm going to explain how it works. You haven't heard this before. Water has memory. And you're all saying, yes, well, Dr. Emoto proved that. When the knowledge arrived to me, I had never heard of Dr. Emoto, but the knowledge said that water contains our memory. And I had no idea what they were talking about. Not they, there is no they. I had no idea what this knowledge was given to me and how I'm supposed to sort through this. What does it mean that water has memory? But I was explaining it in a seminar one day, and somebody came up to me right after my experience and said, well, have you ever heard of Dr. Emoto? He's already proven that water has memory. So I read all his stuff. In fact, the messages from water in the universe happens to be sitting right next to me right now. And the reality is that he gets off on some personal theories, but the fundamental issue that he talks about is that water has memory. So what does that mean to you? Think about it. If water truly has memory, and everything that surrounds us, basically in the universe, contains water molecules, then all of these thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions that I'm going to talk to you about are contained in pieces in those water molecules. Now stick with it. The human body is... Go ahead.
No, I am. I'm right with you. Go ahead.
The human body contains 70 to 90% water. The entire body. The brain is 3 pounds. That is the same for everybody. Every human being has approximately a 3-pound brain. If we created all of our thoughts in the brain, then out of 7 billion people, you're going to get a few brains that would function all the same. Instead, we have 7 different realities. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting neurosurgeons. And one of the neurosurgeons invited me to sit with him for a while and asked me a bunch of questions. And I asked him this profound question, which I, you know, didn't think it was that profound, but it turned out to be. I asked him, I said, do you know where thoughts come from? Now, here's a guy that has done 40,000 brain surgeries. He was the flight surgeon for the Apollo astronauts. And he looks at me and he says, we don't know yet. I said, would you like to know? He said, I would. And the reality is we talked for another 2 or 3 hours after this. Because here's the thing. Water surrounds us. You can't see it. They haven't discovered how minute these subatomic particles are that surround us, but they contain pieces of thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions. I'll tell you how they got there. It's part of what happens when we die. But the reality is that over the course of the last few years, since the knowledge arrived to me, science is catching up. And I believe that the knowledge came through me to sort of be out front of this, to be able to sort of say, yeah, that does work that way. And here's what it is. When you walk through this particle soup that surrounds us, filled with pieces, not complete thoughts, but pieces of thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions, there are particles that can penetrate mass. They call them neutrinos. They just came out with that 2 or 3 years ago. Now, they've got these little subatomic particles that can penetrate the human body, which we call a mass. As we walk through the particle soup, these pieces of particles come through us. Now, some scientists will describe it as vibrations. And I acknowledge that, yes, whatever it is, photons, vibrations, particles. I use the word particles because people can actually imagine a little dot, a little particle coming into them. When it comes into them, there's water in the human body. 70 to 90% is water. The cells all can function on their own, all contain water. And these particle pieces come in at a particular vibration, a particular frequency. For example, if a particle of love comes into you, it's at a particular frequency. They've actually measured it at 580 hertz. So when that particle comes to you, if you resonate with that, and you say, oh, that feels good. Then you start, remember this word, focus. You start to focus on that frequency, and that frequency attracts all of the remaining matching frequencies that are around that come through to you as a thought of love or gratitude or fear or hate. It all works the same way because the world, the universe, is filled with these pieces of these particles. And as we walk through the soup, we resonate. And as we resonate, we draw together through what science has discovered. And if you read my book, you'll start to see that on March 11, 2011, I said they're close. They're going to discover the particle that attracts other particles to form mass. They discovered it in 2012 on July 4th. There was fireworks in my house because they had discovered what they called the God particle. And if you don't think that relieved me because it took away the religious confrontations that I would normally have when you're talking about how this all works. Because when they discovered this God particle, it's called the boson particle. And this boson basically draws other particles to it to form mass. Now, this is all subatomic stuff. And keep in mind, prior to my experience, I couldn't even spell quantum physics, let alone know what it was all about. But the knowledge has given me this stuff. It's even more than you know, because here's the other piece of that, and then we'll come right back to the particles. But the reality is, before my experience, even though I have a 4-year college degree, I never read a complete book in my life. And it always used to bother me. I didn't know why everybody else around me was reading all of these books. And I wasn't able to read because every time I'd go to read a book, I would sort of fade away from and not be able to concentrate on it. And now the knowledge explained why. It was because I was not to be influenced by anybody else's readings, teachings, or thoughts. And even though the environment gave me many thoughts to think about, I never studied Wayne Dyer. I didn't study Deepak Chopra. I didn't study any of those people. After my experience, I study them all like crazy because they're affirmations to me that the information that was provided through me is pure. Because they have done the same thing.
I love what you're saying. And as you're talking about this, I want to give a shout out for another book that I would love to recommend to you and to our listeners as well. That is not in competition of what you're doing, but a supplement to, you know,
there is
really,
no competition.
It's a book called, yes, but it's a book called Why We Believe What We Believe.
Okay.
And it's by Andrew Newberg, who is a neurologist at the University of Pennsylvania, you know, talking of, you know, as you talk about the brain. And really, in a line with what you're saying, it's and his consciousness, the clarity and all this information that came into you, and then that little, you know, side part about how the brain, the functionality of how we retain the memory and the information as you're talking about those particles, really interesting and really an enlightened guy, you know, that truly is swimming, you know, and as we talk about the waters, in these waters of consciousness. And so all this information that was downloaded into you, he is a piece of it, like you talk about those pieces. So really something interesting for you and for our listeners, especially if they're interested in this topic. And I always like to give shout-outs, you know, to people that I, you know, really recommend and think are wonderful. And that's why we believe what we believe. Yes. Yeah, so, but
yeah, I'll recommend them all.
Yes, thank you. And you know, and like you're saying, but I love the fact that you had never read a book. I mean, when I was in second grade, I was reading Dostoevsky. I have been reading. I came in reading. I was like five reading, you know, like, you know, and I was 15 when I graduated high school. They, you know, shot me out of high school a few years early just because I was already, I already had the, all this information, but I came in reading. So the idea that you were held at bay from reading information had to come to you purely through your own consciousness. I can't tell you how much I love that and how filled I am with joy. And I'm smiling from ear to ear at the thought.
And the thing is that if you start to think that at 10 years old, I basically was asking this question of how life works. And each day they were showing me that they restricted, not they, because there is no they, I keep saying that, but because I was restricted from reading, simply says that they were showing me, that I was being shown, excuse me, all the way along how this whole thing works. And there was no question, and there's never been a question in since the experience, that I was supposed to get this knowledge in one lump sum so that I could put this all together to be able to share it. So let's go back a little bit to the particles here so that we don't lose these people down.
Yeah.
Remember, water has memory. The particles that I'm talking about are pieces of thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions are stored in these water molecules, these particles, these pieces, this energy, if you will, this vibration, whatever earthly word we use. And when it comes through you in the form of a neutrino, which is a subatomic particle that can penetrate mass, and it is a boson particle, which means it can attract other pieces to it that relate at the same frequency or vibration. When you like that vibration that you feel, which can be good or bad, because you could resonate with love or hate, depending on what you resonate with and draw to you, before you know it, all of these pieces come together and form a complete thought. And that thought, because of the water that you that is contained within you, now becomes stored around you, both inside and outside, because it works the same way. You're all the same as what you can't see next to you, because this is how the process works. But the reality is that as you do this, then you create your own individual reality based on
walking through this particle soup and resonating with these particle pieces that come together to create the facts that you live with. Does any of that make sense?
Oh, it makes complete sense. I mean, it's like little bells are going. I feel like I'm sitting here with in one of those cartoons with the little bubbles over my head.
But that's the fun part about this. I have people around
all
the country.
All these little ahas.
Yeah, and they just keep popping. And the fun part about this is guess what this does? It eliminates many, many things. It eliminates the guilt that people have within themselves that they created through their brains all of the things that ever happened in their lives. You can now get rid of it. You can get rid of these particles because you know they're stored in memory, but you understand that they're simply pieces of the past, and you can replace those particles and molecules of water with new thoughts. And the fact that people have told kids for years that they're not smart enough, they're not big enough to play sports, all of that stuff, they think they created. These poor kids think that they've created all of these things in their own mind, and they can't get away from it. When in reality, because it surrounds us, it's part of us, yes, but you can step out of this particle soup that you've created as your reality, which was the lesson that I learned when it dissipated from me for those 23 minutes, you can completely shift your reality into something brand new.
Don, I just love this. I mean, this information is just so genuine, and it's so right, and it's just so opening. You know, there's so many doorways and gateways with this that we can go through, and I'm thrilled that you've created the Beam Institute. I love the fact that you asked this question when you were 10 and that you've pursued it. I love the fact that when the information came into you, that you didn't just say, okay, I have some great secret and live your life differently, like, you know, Merlin in the castle, but that you were so drawn to share it and teach each other people how to wake up and live better lives through the process of this. And, I mean, that's what makes you so extraordinary. And there's just, it's such a beautiful thing to meet you, and that just, you know, permeates and just,
well,
it beams from you as you have the Beam Institute. So I'm so, so we're here today. So,
well,
once again, you know, before, I really want people to know how to find you.
Got it. Well, first of all, they can always email me. I do go through and answer all the hundreds of emails that I get, but the reality is that I'm at don@thepowerofknowinghowlifeworks.com. That's my email address that they can tap into. www.thebeaminstitute.com, although I will tell you we need to update our website a little bit, but they can take a peek a little bit about what the Beam Institute is on there. But they can, and they can find the book at Amazon.com under Don Saunders. They can do that if they want. Most importantly, though, can we open the line up for a couple of seconds? If there's anybody out there that has any questions, you know, I'd really like to give some people a chance, if they've had, to just ask some general questions and find out how this applies to their lives.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. We actually don't have you know, the line's still open because we're wrapping up the show right now. So we don't have anybody that's able to jump on even though they're listening. But that's why I really wanted people to be able to reach out and to find you. And I know that there are so many people that are listening to this and have been with us that are just so thrilled to have this information. I'm sure there are questions. That's why I think by just right now, if you provide your information, I also think that once people read the book, that they're going to have so many questions. Because now, how does this work? It's like Christopher Columbus. Now that you know that the world is round, what happens?
Exactly.
You know, now that you know, you know, and that was, you know, one of those things too. We were I'm part of the Transformational Leadership Council, and somebody had held connected EEG machines to their plants in their house, and then they held live shrimp over boiling water, and the plants went crazy to prove the connectedness of all life. And then the next question, of course, is, so what do we do? now that we know the plants have a consciousness, what
right.
do we do? And so I think that for our show, people that have been listening to us this past hour and a half and have been so intrigued and so enthralled and probably jumping up and down in their living rooms, just, you know, biting at the bit to talk to you and to, you know, be able to get your book and to get your information and to be able to find out really how does everything work and how does this apply to me and how do I change my life. That's why I really wanted you to be able to say, okay, this is how to find me now, because now that we know that, what happens next? Now that you know, you know, of the connectiveness of water, now that you know how information comes in, now that you know about particles, now that you know about the life and energy around you, how do you then, now tomorrow you wake up and your life is different, and it is different, because it's different because you're awake and you're in a different consciousness, and you're vibrating at a different speed and different level, then they have to call and say, okay, Don, now I'm vibrating quickly, and now I'm open, and I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm recognizing people and recognizing situations and hearing and seeing and feeling and tasting, and life is just so much of what I thought it was supposed to be, and now it's my reality. And that's why I want people to be able to find you and catch you and come to you and come to the Beam Institute. And certainly there is not a prettier place than Lake Las Vegas to come visit you. And I know that I plan on being back in July and seeing you. And so I just think that the work that you're doing and the fact that, like I said, it's one thing to wake up. I mean, how many of us, you know, you ever watch a child, a five-year-old, wake up, and the kid wakes up, and they're like, all of a sudden they're smiling, and it's a new day, and they jump out of bed, and they're like, you know, running around the house. But, you know, the thing is, then they go to wake everybody in the house. wake up. You know, and it's like that you have that glee and that enthusiasm and that excitement of the kid that just woke up that's running around waking everybody up and sharing all this stuff like Christmas morning. And it's that. It's the same magic of Christmas morning as someone running downstairs to open all the presents and waking everybody in the house, that you have the look at all the magic. Look at everything that's here. Look how beautifully we've wrapped it. Look what's inside. This is how it works. You know, you're the manual, the instructions for all the toys, for all the cool stuff. I mean, it's who you are and what your life and your journey is about now. And, oh, I'm so grateful for the 10-year-old boy in you that asked and asked and asked and asked. And I'm so grateful for the man in you that had the patience and the heart and the spirit and the soul to listen.
I just I want to thank you too, because it's people like you that'll help us share this knowledge. We will get this done. The other 98% of the people that are not waking up just yet are going to wake up. I mean, that's part of the knowledge. The fun part about the knowledge when it was all done was the reality that this is possible. It is possible to pull humanity back, to live a life of gratitude, love, and compassion as opposed to greed and fear. And that's what keeps me going every single waking minute of my life, is the fact that I know this can be done. And because the knowledge was so powerful and so strong and shared that information with me, we're going to create a huge community in Lake Las Vegas. And the more people that know that we're there, we're not quite up and running with it all just yet, but it's coming right over the top of the mountain at us. We can see it. So stay tuned with us, and each forum that you come to CEO Space, we'll give you updates, and then just help me get the information shared. That's all we care about.
I love that. And before we wrap up, you know, stay with me for just a minute, because we have some I just wanted to share some incredible shows that we have coming on, and I do have a quick question
Great.
For you. But we have next Saturday, Ian Wynn is with us, and I know you know Ian Wynn, and Ian is talking about the Superhuman Project, which is just going to be extraordinary, how to be a superhuman. And then we have, following Ian Wynn and the Superhuman Project, we have my friend Alan Robinson, who is a stuntman and probably one of the top stunt coordinators in the world. And he's going to talk about living on the edge, you know, jumping off, you know, buildings, doing all that stuff. He actually did a bungee jump in a hot air balloon. and you can't.
Yeah, I'll wait for the video.
Bungee jump off out of a hot air balloon, and then we have Morty and Shelley Lefko from the Lefko Institute talking about how to erase beliefs. And we have also friends of ours, you know, Michael White doing the language of space and feng shui. And we have Nick Baer coming on, who is, of course, the Soul Whisperer. So we have such a great lineup on our show for guests, and we're so glad that you're a part of it. And I know that even though our general lines, you know, have been closed down right now as we're wrapping up the show, we still have, you know, our co-lines, our co-hosting lines, and Chris from Curious Times is on, and I know that she had a question for you, so I'm going to put her on really quickly before we say goodbye, okay? So hold on just 1 second.
Thanks, Nicole. Hey, thanks, Nicole.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
Hey, so, wow, like, and I'm not sure if I can properly articulate this question in the time allotted here, but because I have grade 9 science, you know, but anyway, so I get this idea. I'm right understanding, like, that the thoughts come from essentially the universe or a collective consciousness or something like that. And then that because we're and that water can hold thoughts or whatever, you know what I mean? And we're made up of large percentage of water. So, and we used to talk about, a lot of people talk about, you know, if you think negatively, then you'll draw negativity to you. And what, in a sense, you're like, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, is sort of the question, right? Like, if our thoughts aren't produced in our brain, how does one start to become, how do those negative thoughts get into the brain in the first place? Is it merely environment or what?
Beautiful. Well, the one piece we didn't have a chance to cover was what happens when we die. So let me give that real quick, and then you'll understand where these thoughts come from. We have created realities in our lives. When we pass away, those thought particles that we have created as our realities dissipate back into the universe as pieces of thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions. So the universe is filled with all of the realities from the people that have passed on prior to us, so that when they have a negative life, when they have created a negative reality, when they have died for killing somebody else, they pass that information, good or bad, back into the universal consciousness for future generations to have available to them to walk through and basically create their realities based on all of the particles that have been deposited there from our previous generations. So when you resonate at a particular level with a negative thought because of the fact that your life maybe turned you left instead of right, then you attract those thoughts to you, not your brain creating them, but simply
right.
You're processing all of these, and then you create your reality based on a negative rather than a positive thought.
So it'd be a whole nother show, but to say then we need to work on how people can discharge those thoughts safely into the universe and be taken away into never, never land where they can never be accessed by, and eliminate all the bad before they die.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I will tell you, I haven't met you, but I love you already just for stating that. Let me just explain real quick to you right now. Is the fact
that. You have a minute, very quick. You have a minute.
Here you go.
It'll take us into archives, no worries.
I used to think that the death penalty was feasible if somebody killed somebody else. But the reality is if that person that killed somebody has not shifted their thoughts and their reality, and we put them to death, and they dissipate that terrible negative stuff back into the universe, it's available for other people to grab onto. So the reality is, yes, you are 100% correct. We have to shift people's thoughts before they die.
Right. So instead of last rites, we have to get, like, energy workers that can wrap up all that negative, all them negative
perfect.
Thoughts.
That's a great idea. That's a good idea. Well, Don, we thank
cool.
you. You,
okay,
and thank you, Chris, for your brilliant question. And, Don, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, the knowledge, the sacred, secret knowledge of the universe, you know, on our show today. And it's such
such a gift to have you here, and everybody should find you and read the book, The Knowledge, and it sounds like we have to bring you back because we have so many more questions for you. So we look forward to having you on the show again. So thank you so much
for
everybody. Oh, my pleasure. And this is Nicole. And this is Nicole Brandon is from Unlimited Life, and we're wishing you a wonderful week. And join us next week for Ian Wynn and the Superhuman Project, how everybody can be a superhero in their own life, how you achieve all that stuff, the highest level of excellence and all that magic, all your dreams coming true. So the Superhuman Project next week, Ian Wynn, and great gratitude for Don Saunders and The Knowledge. And, of course, always, the Curious Times. Thank you.